This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, which means that for the next half hour, 3CR Community Radio's airwaves will be dedicated to our coasts and oceans. You're listening to Out of the Blue. My name is Tessa Campisi, and I will be your captain this morning. As always, we are beaming to you from unceded Wurundjeri lands and waters, and I pay my respect to elders past and present. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. On today's show, I'm bringing you an interview which sent shivers down my spine. I'll tell you a little bit more after this break.
Forests are essential ecosystems, mitigating for climate breakdown, cooling the planet, and preserving the wondrous diversity of life. Yet, they are being destroyed at an alarming rate. Here in the Kulin Nations, logging continues, increasing risk of both fires and floods. The Bob Brown Foundation is calling a national day of action, the March in March for Forests. In Naam, join us on Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m. in Parliament Gardens to demand the protection for native forests. Go to marchforforests.org for all the details, including how to volunteer. March for Forests, Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m.
A 3CR supporter.
Tuvalu is one of our neighbours in the Pacific. It's one of the world's smallest nation-states, made up of 9 islands with an average elevation of only 2 metres above sea level. And that's when the tide's out. As carbon emissions continue to climb, so do global temperatures, causing the polar ice caps to melt and the seas to rise. By the end of this century, global sea levels could rise by over a metre if emissions continue to increase unabated. Dr. Maina Talia is the Minister of Home Affairs, Climate Change and Environment in Tuvalu. He has dedicated his life to travelling the world and agitating for climate justice and just adaptation for Pacific Island nations. Somehow, in his busy schedule, he managed to squeeze in time for Out of the Blue. In this conversation, we discuss climate activism, justice and theology, but we begin by talking about his relationship with the ocean back home in Tuvalu.
I was born and raised in Tuvalu, and I think I want to establish that fact at the very beginning of my talk. It is important that I start off from where I come from the island of Waitupu, and which is part of the of Tuvalu. And we live out of the ocean. Ocean is very important to our livelihood. And we have seen quite a lot of changes since we were young up until now. It is quite sad to see that some of the places that we used to play have gone into the sea. Most of the coastal areas are being eroded by the sea. And we continue to face the negative impact of climate change on oceans. So it is an issue for us, especially countries that totally rely on ocean for their daily survival.
Yeah, so the ocean being both a place that provides but also has this power to take away. And as you say, climate change is having a massive impact in Tuvalu, despite contributing next to nothing to the causes. So I was wondering if you could outline some of the impacts that you are starting to see in your home.
I mean, the basic challenges that we continue to face is not just drought. So we don't have any rivers. So we heavily rely on rainwater harvesting for our survival. And because of the change of weather patterns, we continue to experience drought. There are prolongs for quite a time. And a few years back, the government had to declare a state of emergency because of drought. Or it was during the last period of the virus, of corona virus. So there were two declarations made by the government. State of emergency was one on drought and one on the virus. And not just dealing with water security, insecurity, but we are also dealing with food security because of the inundation of most of the low-lying part of the island. Water is not just coming from the side of the island, but also bubbling from right in the middle of the island where it tends to be low part of the island. So it's really challenging our farmers, our traditional way of planting, you know, our traditional root crops. There are a lot of impact that we continue to face in Tuvalu, apart from soil erosion. And, you know, so it is a problem, it is an issue that we really need to address when it comes to a meaningful adaptation.
And so, although Tuvalu is one of the smallest nation states on Earth, it has been one of the loudest voices calling for climate justice, calling out the dangerous inaction of industrial states like Australia. So I'm curious, when did you know it was your life's work to become a climate activist?
Well, I don't need to be convinced by someone to become a climate activist or to believe that this is the best or the least we can do for our country. But I did some studies around climate change and theology for my master's and my doctoral studies as well. So it really strengthened my ability to be a climate activist. We get very mad when we get to see countries are not responding. They're taking their own pace and time to do what they want and think what is best for their country and neglecting countries like mine, a small country that with a very least to respond to the climate crisis.
So often the way that we hear about Tuvalu in the media and other low-lying Pacific Island nations are like the canaries in the coal mine on climate change. They're described as sinking or drowning. And I'm curious, from your perspective, what parts of this narrative are accurate and where do they fail? Where do they fall short?
Well, yes, indeed. I think collective actions is something that we really need to work as a team to respond to the climate crisis. So Tuvalu alone cannot act on its own, and it's not one-size-fits-all approach that is needed. We need to, because every context varies, so we have to look specifically to different countries, different low-lying atolls, with the understanding that we cannot solve climate change overnight. We have to work collectively in Australia and New Zealand. And the reason why I kept on pointing out Australia, because they are next door neighbor. And to be a next door neighbor is to do what is best for your neighbor. The moral clarity and the moral leadership from Australia should not be finger pointing. And I think that could be something that some of our audience from my interview yesterday saying that, you know, Tuvalu should stop finger pointing. But that's not the point. We're pointing to Australia because they are next door to us, and their narrative of development include the narrative of families, the Voo Valley. You know, they were talking to Fiji about the Voo Valley, the families. And they were talking to Tuvalu about the Falepili, the neighborly love. And then yet we tend to do the opposite. But when we talk about moral responsibility and moral leadership, you don't have to think to other countries, what do they have to do to determine our actions. Our moral response should be contextual driven. It should be driven by our moral responsibility and what is ought to be done for the betterment of those who live next door to us. So if we want to talk about neighbor, if we want to talk about Wu Valley, if we want to talk about families in the Pacific as a group of family, we need to act as families. We can't just talk about Wool Valley and Falepili, and then do the opposite. You know, the core fundamental principles of family in the Wool Valley concept, and also with the Falepili, is to look after one another. So we cannot deny the fact that, you know, we formulate this Falepili treaty, sign the Falepili treaty, and then work in silo. No, we really need to work together to reflect the principles of the Falepili.
Dr. Maina Talia there, talking about his doctoral thesis on theology and climate change. You're listening to Out of the Blue on 3CR Community Radio. And on today's show, we're hearing from our neighbours in the Pacific about their fight to persist, survive and thrive in the face of the climate crisis.
Central to your thesis is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which asks, who is my neighbour? And so I'm curious, in Tuvalu, what does it mean to be a good neighbour, and how does this relate to the two geopolitics of climate change?
Thank you. I'm glad that you read some of my dissertation. And yes, of course, I try to change the narrative of climate change and biblical reading of the story of Noah, because, you know, every time in the theological space or the biblical space, when we talk about climate change in Tuvalu or any other parts of the world, the default text would always be the story of Noah. Mm. You know, those who have climate change is the causes by sins of the world. And to have that sin, we have to be punished by our sins. That retribution theology, that retribution understanding of things that, you know, you do good, you'll be blessed. If you do the other, you'll be cursed. So I want to change the whole narrative to look into the Good Samaritan text and see how can we derive another theology that specifically speaks about the neighbor. So I came up with the concept of theology of the tuakwe, or the neighborly love. And see how can we use that concept of tuakwe in the geopolitical discussion of climate change. So the word Falepili, which I did not use in my dissertation, Fale means house and Pili means proximity. So living next to someone. But literally in Tuvalu, the word that we commonly use, and it's also used in the Bible, is tuakoi. Tu means to stand, and akoi is to be loved. So there are times in life we need to stand and to be loved. We need to stand at some point and to show love. That's what tuakoi is all about. So if your house is on fire, what will your neighbor do? Will he or she add extra petrol to burn your house? Or will he call the fire brigade and also put water to put out the fire? So those are the basic image that we want to talk about when it comes to climate change and geopolitics within the Pacific. What do we really need to do as neighbors? What will be our moral responsibility? Because neighbor is no longer defined as someone living next door to you. But neighbors, or tuakoi, from my perspective, it's a geopolitical tuakoi. Whatever that is done in the US or in Australia will impact the least, will impact those who are underprivileged. So we really need to strike the balance between the global south and the global north. What is best and what is ought to be done? Because I think that's the old basic principle of morality, on ethics. You know, we need to do what is ought to be done. That is ethics. That is moral.
This reminds me of, so we're coming up to the 4-year anniversary of major floods in the state of New South Wales and Australia, including the town of Lismore, where I used to live. And these floods were over 2 metres higher than any in recorded history, supercharged by climate change, and thousands lost their homes and thousands more were displaced. And in the aftermath, something I remember very clearly were that there were some Pacific Islander people who were part of the Pacific Labour Scheme who came to help in the aftermath of the floods. People from Samoa, from Vanuatu, from some other places. And so I remember their generosity, I remember their practicality, And I remember their singing when they would work, when they were helping us to salvage our belongings. And I thought that, you know, Pacifica peoples have experienced climate change impacts. They know what it's like and they know how to respond. And they showed up as good neighbours to help us through this. So I'm curious, how can we both benefit? What do we get when we become good neighbours to each other?
What our Pacific brothers and sisters have done in Lismore, I think, is exceptional. And the way that they acted on that, it was purely acting out principles of being a good neighbour. Mm-hmm. And that is natural to the Pacific Islanders. You know, it's run through our DNA that whoever's in trouble, we have to help. We have to provide the necessary support to those who are in need. So I'm not surprised by what they have done. But I think that's what the core principle of being a human being, you know, is to help one another, to making sure that within the family setting, our roles is to making sure that everyone within the family are safe. So if we bring that principle of Vu Vale that Australia always talk about with Fiji and the Falepili with Tuvalu, those principles can really elevate our relationship. If you're in trouble, we come and help. If we are in trouble, you come and help. So if we can bridge the two together, and we'll make the world a better place to live.
I want to return to your PhD briefly. So something I was really compelled by was your examination of different words, as you've outlined, and different proverbs as well. And one that I was really delighted by was meeting God on the dance floor, which you say is a space where one can see God not as a noun, but as a verb, as an action. So tell me, when the sea levels are rising and they threaten to consume the land under your feet, what do the people of Tuvalu have to gain through continuing to sing and to dance?
Well, thank you. I also published a very problematic art in my one of my chapters. And I'm not sure whether the one that you read was the PhD dissertation or the book, because I think the book has that art of a female Jesus. It was very controversial.
On the canoe. This. Yeah.
A very controversial art that I asked the late Denene to do it for me. So I drew it down and explained it to him, and he drew the whole thing together of Jesus, a female Jesus on a canoe. So the canoe really represents the cross, in which none of us in Tuvalu have seen the cross. And represented by the canoe, because we have canoes in Tuvalu, and we have those kind of punishment in the past that, you know, really to do with the canoe. So we understand canoe. So and on the side of the ocean, there were people dancing, Fatele, if you look into the art. And next to the canoe, there were Coca-Cola plastic bottles floating. So we don't need a boring Jesus that hang on the cross. We need a female Jesus that can really come and help us collect all the plastic bottles. And that was like 6-7 years ago. And now, being the climate minister, I'm also the minister looking after waste management in Tuvalu. So that image kept on coming back to me, you know, haunting me when it comes to plastic bottles. And, you know, we tend to always being convinced that, you know, a male Jesus is always the one who was hung on the cross. But I think he's a very boring Jesus, you know, hanging on the cross and doing nothing. We need a female Jesus, a motherly a Jesus that really, you know, lived among us, collect the plastic bottles with us. And we would love him to, or her, to come and dance with us on our dance floor. So if you read the part of the dissertation, it talks about the Fatele, the traditional dance, how we sing, because Fatele cannot be performed by three of us. Fatele requires quite a lot of people. One will beat the tin, one will beat the, five or six will beat the box, 20 will sing, and maybe another 20 will be dancing. So it really reflects what community really means in Tuvalu. It defines who we are. We're happy people. So we need a happy Jesus, not a sad Jesus, a Jesus that only hung on the cross for the sin of the people, but a Jesus that really comes down from the cross and celebrate life with us, celebrate climate change with us, dance with us in times of misery, in times of trouble. So we need a Jesus that really, really lives with us. So, yeah, it was problematic. It was controversial within the circle of, I would say, traditional or theologians, but not controversial to some of our radical theologians and, you know, theologians that really want to shake the foundation of Christian theology.
Mm. Have you ever met God on the dance floor?
We always dance with him on the dance floor. Every time we get that chance to dance in Tuvalu, we dance with God. And if we are to live, we live with God. And if we are to be left behind, we'll be left behind with God. And if we are to sink, we will sink with God. That is what God is all about. It's not an abstract idea of some power beyond. A God that is dancing with us right now. A God that cries with Tuvalu right now because of the climate crisis, something that we did not contribute to. So we continue to dance with God in our daily lives. And if we are to discuss the absentees of God, it really literally saying that, you know, God is absent from Tuvalu. So we don't want to discuss the absentees of God. We want to discuss how God continued to dance with us on the dance floor. So you see, in my PhD dissertation, I was talking about inviting Jesus or inviting God to the dance floor to dance with our people in our midst of struggle and pain. We will continue to dance with him or with her.
Dr. Maina Talia, what a force to be reckoned with. You can see the painting he mentioned of female Jesus in the canoe, along with a link to his fascinating PhD on our website at 3cr.org.au/radioblue. Music from this episode is from Blue Dot Sessions. It's time for me to paddle out of the studio and make way for Out of the Pan with Sally coming up next. As you go about your Sunday afternoon, remember to treat one another with the kindness and care of a good neighbour. And most importantly, stay salty, friends.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.